After 9 months of shuttle diplomacy and more than 100 closed-door meetings around the world, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry's effort to broker a peace deal between Israelis and Palestinians ended in failure. With the end of the Obama administration's latest effort to get both sides to sign on to a proposed two-state solution, each side blamed the other for the lack of progress. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pulled out of the talks shortly after Mahmoud Abbas, president of the Palestinian Authority, signed an April 23rd agreement with the militant Hamas faction that controls Gaza. The two rivals committed to forming a new unity government in 5 weeks and holding a presidential election in 7 months. Israel, the U.S., and European Union have designated Hamas a terrorist organization. For their part, the Palestinians said the failure of the talks can be traced to Israel's reneging on its promised release of a final group of 26 long-serving Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails. They also point out that during the 9 months of talks, Israel initiated plans to build 13,851 housing units on contested land in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, four times the number than in previous years. Your reporter spoke with Adam Horowitz, co-editor of Mondeweiss.net, an online forum on Middle East issues. Here he examines the reasons for the failure of this latest round of Israeli-Palestinian peace talks and summarizes some of the points made in his recent article titled, Five Reasons the Breakdown of Peace Talks is a Good Thing.
Of course, you know, everybody wants a resolution to the conflict, and it would be understandable if people saw this failure as a really dispiriting turn of events. I wrote this piece for several reasons why it shouldn't be viewed that way. And really, the one takeaway, and there's several points, but the one takeaway is just simply that no deal is better than a bad deal. And although this framework for negotiations was never publicly released, there were leaks that were coming from the negotiating team, and all signs were that this framework would be a really bad deal for the Palestinians. I mean, there are these core issues that the Palestinians bring to the table in every version of the peace talks, and this framework was basically going to be asking them to put those aside. And those issues include having a capital in East Jerusalem, allowing for the return of Palestinian refugees to their homes and lands, while at the same time, this framework also really incorporated all of Israel's core issues. One of the big ones that was leaked, and again, we don't know what the actual details were because it was never released, but all these leaks seem to indicate that the United States was going to push for continued Israeli military presence in the Jordan Valley. So if you can imagine what the map would look like with Israel controlling the territory that it is now internationally recognized as Israel, plus the Jordan Valley on the border with Jordan, what that really ends up leaving are basically just these islands of Palestinian control in the West Bank. Whether Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian negotiating team would have agreed to that, we don't know. There's certainly indications that they wouldn't because that framework deal was never announced. But this would not have been a workable deal, regardless if they agreed to it. It would not have been a workable deal in terms of ending the conflict, which should be seen as somewhat different from a workable deal to keep negotiations going or to keep the peace process going.
As you wrote, Adam, the BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement around the world, has worried Israeli officials, although it doesn't have a lot of visibility here in the United States in our media, it does trouble the Israelis in terms of the long run. Tell us how you think the BDS movement could be effective in moving the Israeli government in the future to agree to some planks of a peace agreement that they have not been in agreement with in
right.
the past.
I mean, it's interesting because today in the Boston Globe, there was an interesting op-ed by Andrew Bacevich, who is no lefty by any account, and he was writing his sort of postmortem of the peace process. And basically, part of his analysis is, you know, Israel is an incredibly strong country by almost any estimation, militarily, economically, and they're basically being asked to give up something for, in their view, almost nothing. They have all the cards right now. What do they have to gain by making peace with the Palestinians? And part of his point is that the U.S. is in a role where they could make it worth Israel's while to make peace. they could start pulling back U.S. aid. They can start pulling back diplomatic support. But at this point, the U.S. has shown no indication to do that. So really, Israel has very little to gain by making peace. And that's where the BDS movement comes in, because they are the one player here that is trying to say there's a price to pay for the status quo. The BDS movement started in 2005. It's a really new movement. It's a completely grassroots movement, but it's already had really an amazing success record given that amount of time. It is true what you said, that it is relatively more grassroots in the United States, but in Europe, it's actually much more advanced. And there was one comment that I quoted in that piece by Tippi Livni, who is the Israeli justice minister, who was quoted in the Israeli press as saying, maintaining the peace process is essential to keep the European Union from deepening a boycott of Israeli settlements. That if it is shown that the peace process is going nowhere or is a sham, then these floodgates will really open of boycotts and sanctions against Israel. Now, one thing that's different in Europe and in the United States is that Israeli settlements produce fruits and vegetables that are exported to Europe. There's been a movement in recent years to have those clearly marked so that consumers will know whether they're buying something that's grown in the settlement. And there's now a growing movement in the EU to stop the import of settlement produce altogether. You know, with each moment where Israel thumbs its nose at the international community, the BDS movement only grows exponentially as more and more people who are, you know, legitimately concerned about ending this conflict see no other possibility. They don't see the U.S. government as being willing to take meaningful action. They're not seeing any of the other international organizations doing that, and so it's left to civil society. It might not be able to change the balance of forces by itself, but it is able to even the playing field some and begin a process of building political power, which I think ultimately is the goal.
That was Adam Horowitz, co-editor of MondoWeiss.net, an online forum on Middle East issues. For more analysis and commentary on the decades-long conflict between Israel and Palestine, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.